أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome back to Ramadan Reflections as we explore the theme of living the Quran through the living Quran. Today is the 21st day of the month of Ramadan, and for the lovers of Islam, the followers of the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family, and specifically those who love and cherish and hold dear the family of the Prophet, the Ahlul Bayt, may God's peace and blessings be upon all of them. Today is a day of sorrow and sadness because it is on this day in the history of Islam that the commander of the faithful, the prince of the believers, Ali the son of Abu Talib, may God's peace and blessings be upon both of these great personalities, was killed. His attack came on the 19th of the month of Ramadan, and 2 days later on the 21st of the month of Ramadan, he succumbed to his injuries that he was fatally inflicted with in the mihrab, in the prayer niche, in the mosque, in the Masjid of Kufa, as he was performing his prayers to God. The commander of the faithful was struck on the head with a poisonous sword of the cursed Ibn Muljim. And 2 days after this fatal blow and attack, he succumbed to those injuries and left this transient world to meet back with his creator. The life of Amir al-Mu'mineen obviously is something which needs to be carefully studied and analyzed from many of its aspects. Obviously today our theme is something completely different, but just for a few minutes that we want to take out to remember the commander of the faithful on this very tragic day, that he was a man who had the distinct honor of being the only human being to ever be born inside of the Holy Kaaba in Mecca. And he was a man to be killed in the house of Allah in the Masjid of Kufa, one of the most sacred mosques on the face of this earth. And indeed, during his entire life, that his birth was in the house of God, his death, the martyrdom took place in the house of God. And indeed, without a doubt, his entire life was spent in the service of God, in the service of Allah. Whether it be serving the noble Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family. Imam Ali, as we know, was there every step of the way. When many people were scared to be with the Prophet, when many people were scared to even travel with the Prophet because they didn't know what outcomes would befall them, the commander of the faithful very willingly slept in the bed of the Messenger of God in Mecca, knowing that his life would be in danger by the swords of the Quraysh. And God revealed the verse of the Quran telling us that there are people who sell their souls for the pleasure of God, who sell their life, who give up their very existence for the sake of God. And many other verses would come down over the next 13 years or 12 years of the Prophet's mission, both the first 13 years in Mecca rather and the 10 or 11 years in Medina. That entire period was one in which many verses of the Quran would be revealed about the commander of the faithful and his family, his wife Lady Zahra, peace be upon her, and the two imams from their progeny, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, may God's peace and blessings be upon all of them. Obviously, again, as we mentioned, that the traits of the commander of the faithful are so many that were we to sit and try to enumerate them, we would not have enough time. The hundreds of verses of the Quran that deal with his great personality, his status, his infallibility, his perfection, are so many that scholars of all Muslim persuasions have penned many books to speak about the commander of the faithful. However, as we conclude this introduction about the life of Amir al-Mu'mineen, we first off again offer our condolences to the brothers and sisters who are remembering the tragic demise of the successor of the Prophet Muhammad and the one who first believed in his message before anybody else ever came to his aid. And that is Ali, the son of Abu Talib. May God's peace and blessings be upon him and his noble father. Today, the topic we want to look at in our series of Living the Quran through the Living Quran is about the concept of repentance, of tawbah, and turning back to God. Now, obviously, this is a vast topic that spans thousands of verses of the Quran. Many times God talks about turning back to him. What does this mean, tawbah? How do we understand it within our framework? Let us first have a listen to the verse that we want to reflect upon today, and then we'll come back and engage in a very brief discussion of tawbah, of repentance, from the perspective of the teachings of Islam.
إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَأُولَئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا.
Different, however, will be the case of those who turn to God in repentance and believe and do righteous deeds. It is these to whom no injustice shall be done in the least, and they will get their due rewards. They shall enter into paradise. Now, as we mentioned, that tawbah is a concept within Islam that God has given to us. And in a vast, large number, maybe a majority of the verses of the Quran, we may say, in which God describes sinners and the sins that they perform. In many of these cases, God follows up such verses with the concept of tawbah, of turning back to Him in repentance. First and foremost, this shows you and I that the door towards God's forgiveness is never closed. A person could be one of the most violent, criminals on the face of this earth. But that individual, if they have a awakening of the heart, if they realize their mistakes, they have an opportunity to turn back to Allah and ask His repentance. God tells us in the Quran, in many very, very beautiful and poignant verses, that never despair of the mercy of God. God tells us that He forgives all sins in their totality. God also tells us in many other verses where there is a concept of where our sins can be turned into good deeds, meaning that the negative repercussions, the negative balance that we have when we enact repentance in the truest sense of this word and follow all the conditions and criteria, those negative actions, that negative balance we have, so to speak, can actually be transformed into a positive balance on our record. The Quran also gives us an indication that repentance is an obligation. God uses a command form when He speaks about tawbah within the Quran in many instances. And so scholars tell us that tawbah, to turn back to God, is an obligation on a believer. We should not just assume or presume that God will forgive us. We should not presume that we will have intercession of, the prophets, the imams, the holy personalities. No, we do accept intercession. We accept the fact that they can step in and advocate on our behalf on the day of judgment. But we realize that between death and the day of judgment is a very long day, a very long period of time. And we don't know what our state will be in that particular realm of the barzakh, of the intermediary realm. And so as a community of believers, when we realize that we have made mistakes, we need to turn back to God in repentance and ask Him for forgiveness of our transgressions of His rules and His regulations. Another aspect about tawbah is that God actually loves those who repent. Now, obviously, we know that God does not have emotions as you and I do. But one of the things that God does tell us in the Quran is He says that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Indeed, God loves those who turn, continuously turn actually, to Him in repentance. Now, He doesn't have emotions, so we need to understand such verses in the correct way. But we can say that God's love is a manifestation, or it is manifest rather, in blessings, in mercy, in forgiveness, in paradise. And so, when God tells us that there are people He loves and people that He hates, we have to understand these in the correct understanding. But here we see that God loves those who turn in repentance. God wants us to come back to Him, to come back to that straight path. One of the things, however, to keep in mind, as we see in this verse, and we see in multiple verses of the Quran actually, is that it's not just about turning in repentance to God. Now, what do I mean? I mean that we see in this verse where God tells us that you have to enact repentance, but you also have to change, we have to change our character. We have to go back to a life of righteousness. And so we understand that tawbah or repentance is the level of asking God for forgiveness. But we have to couple and we have to follow that up with our own actions. A person who just asks for forgiveness and doesn't change character, they haven't really fully understood the full concept of asking for repentance. And so we see in the Quran many times God repeats this mantra: ask forgiveness and do good actions. Ask forgiveness and change yourself, reform yourself. In fact, even the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, when he spoke about repentance in Nahjul Balagha, the collection of his sermons and letters and sayings, he told us that repentance is built upon a foundation of 9 pillars. And I'm not going to go into the detail of all of these. You can refer to Nahjul Balagha for the details. But one of those pillars is that you make reparations. You correct the wrongs that you may have done. If you've taken something from somebody, you can't just ask God for forgiveness. You need to pay that thing back. And so repentance, as we see in the Quran, is an action between the servant and God in terms of a verbal grief and remorse, but also it is a change in our own character. As we close on this blessed day of the month of Ramadan, which is a day of blessings, but it is also a day of sorrow and tragedy because of the martyrdom of the commander of the faithful, we remind ourselves of this beautiful verse of chapter number 19, Surah Maryam, verse number 60, that we have been reviewing, that repentance is something which we have to enact. It is the verbal declaration to God. It is a change in our own actions and our way that we deal with God and society. And we also have to appreciate that God will not do injustice to us. He is not unfair. As long as we have done the best that we can do to ask forgiveness, He will accept it. He will forgive us of our sins. And the outcome of that is obviously paradise. And as we close, we ask God that if we have committed any sins, not only in this month of Ramadan, but during our entire life, that God gives each and every one of us the ability to ask for repentance. We ask God to accept our repentance. We ask Him to give us the opportunity to correct the wrongs we may have done against human beings or against the rules of God. And last but not least, we ask for God to give us an opportunity to be in paradise and to be able to drink from the fountain of Al-Kawthar at the hand of the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his noble father and upon the noble members of his blessed family. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.